from the cosmic legends of the universe, Dave Damaschek. The mission, to fight injustice, to right that which is wrong, and to serve all mankind.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to Side B of this week's Dave Damaschek football program. We press on now after a gangbuster Side A, or at least the part that I heard we talked about in Ndamukong Suh, Tim Tebow. We introduced TD, our new producer, or as he declared himself, black tie. I like it. I think that's going to catch on. We got into the DeLorean, took it up to next Tuesday, went to 88 miles an hour, went to next Tuesday, told you who's going to win the biggest games. And now a treat of treats, especially for you, Adam Rank. Actually, for anybody who loves...
Anybody who loves football should be excited.
I am 100% in agreement with you on that. Now the subject of the new biography. Because it was Sunday, one of the real great legends of L.A. Rams history, Jack Youngblood. How are you, sir?
We're excellent. We're probably better than we deserve, to be honest.
Well, congratulations on the new book. And what is the inspiration for the title, first of all, because it's Sunday?
You know, we wanted to get it down on paper. You know, telling the stories... Using some of the events and things over the years in speeches and presentations, that's one thing. But to get it down on black and white is another. And there were so many good people in my life that influenced the career and the direction we were going in. And I kind of wanted to recognize that and say thank you in a way. And then to leave that for maybe some young man who goes through the same trials and tribulations that I went through, and realized that, hey, we can do this. This can happen.
Well, Jack, I'm going to now turn it over because he's swooning. He really is. Are you able to talk right now, Frank?
It's tough.
You're able to get out a question?
Can, the funny thing is you can tell when a person grew up as an L.A. Rams fan, because my friend Patio, who's about 10 years older than me, swears by Deacon Jones. I'm 10 years younger. I swear by Jack Youngblood. We have these arguments all the time. So, yes, it's...
All right. Well, listen, don't get caught up talking to me. Go ahead and talk to Jack Youngblood.
You got the two of the best that's ever played the game. So, and I'm a clone of Deacon. If you remember, I came into the league in 71, and who did I have to make the football team with? Deacon Jones.
Mm-hmm. You backed him traded him the next year, right?
Right. But I'm thinking, when I get there and I realize, what I'm about to get into, I'm thinking it's going to be a short trip. How do you beat out Deacon Jones to play on to play on the football team? That's not going to happen today.
That is pretty amazing, though. You and Aaron Rodgers, and it's a pretty short list of guys that successfully can replace a legend like that. So good for you.
Yeah, I tell you, it's credit to Deacon and to Merlin. And fortunately, I had 6-7 more years with Merlin. But I had that 1 year under with Deacon, and he literally put his arm around me one day. He said, "Kid, you've got what it takes to play, but I've got to teach you how to play." and I listened. I tried to listen anyway.
And one of the things that was the hallmark of your career was your toughness. And the title of the book, Because It Was Sunday, obviously refers to your toughness and dedication. You didn't miss a game until 1984, and even a broken leg couldn't keep you down. And to the listeners who might not know this story, shame on you, first of all. But you played not only in Super Bowl XIV, you played in the 79 NFC Championship game. When that was going on, was there ever a doubt that you weren't going to play?
First, as I'm going into the locker room, I feel it moving. I feel the bone moving, and I'm thinking to myself, "That's not real good. this is not gonna bode well here." And we take a picture of it, and the doc, we get the trainers in there, and I said, "Doc, tape it up. We gotta go try and play." And he said, "You can't do that. You got a broken leg." He said, and he showed me the film, and, of course, I'd already seen it, and he said, "You snap like a pencil, Jack." I said, "Well, let's just try. We got to go try. That's my responsibility." I'm the captain of the football team. We've been here. We've been in this situation too many times before. I'm going to try and contribute to this football team. And they looked at me and went, "You're nuts." And I went, "Yep. But let's go."
Well, but I mean, this sounds like a silly question, but really, I mean, how much did it hurt? You had a broken leg and you're playing football. Were you in excruciating pain?
To me, yes. Yes. I mean, every time I planted that left foot, it was like somebody stabbed you with a knife. And you can't deaden that. You can't take painkillers enough to allow you. You can take enough painkillers to knock it out, but you can't play then. You'd be asleep on the sideline. But you had to block it out. I just had to block it out. And there was a couple of times, you know, the body will defend itself. You know, you injure yourself bad enough, the body will react and try to protect it. And there was a couple of times when I planted trying to come back inside on a move and just put too much pressure on that bone, and the left leg just collapsed. So I went down in a pile. But no, it was excruciating. There's no question about that.
And it's so amazing. I think anybody who followed the Rams understood that you guys had gotten so close for so many years going against the Vikings and the Cowboys that when you finally got a chance to play in the Super Bowl, you weren't going to miss it. We all understand that. But here's the thing. You played in the Pro Bowl after that. How is that possible?
Hey, I'm not going to miss that party. I mean, I've come through the Dallas thing. I came through the Tampa deal. We got through, you know, the Steelers and the Super Bowl. And now the next event is the Pro Bowl, and we had six or seven of the guys going. Now I'm not gonna weenie out on the boys. I've got to go over there and at least tote and fetch for them.
Well, what do you say to the modern athlete? Because now everybody begs out of the Pro Bowl for somewhat minor injuries.
They have a commercial shoot.
Yes. Like, how is that? How do you feel about these guys?
It insults me, to be honest with you. I mean, I'll just be blatant there. That insults me because you have been honored by your peers, your coaches, your coaching peers, and the public, and your fans, and then to say, well, I don't have time to go do that. You know, that's beneath me. I don't need to do that. That insults me. It should insult everybody who votes on that particular issue. You know, these players today, I don't understand it. I mean, that's probably why I'm not in the game. You know, I'm so hard headed, but I just don't understand the. How do I put this politely?
Prima donna.
How do you? You know, I don't understand the lack of humility.
Yeah, that's why prima donna, or as others have called it this week, the sissification of the NFL. What do you think about that, though? Obviously, talk about the broken leg. That's all you need to say about you and your toughness. But what about this code that the big controversy this week up in Detroit that the Atlanta Falcons were boo-hooing because Ndamukong Suh was allegedly, he even, as a matter of fact, denies that he made the remarks, but when Matt Ryan is on the ground injured, that he was saying, get him off the field, so on and so forth. And there was all sorts of gnashing of teeth from the residents of Mount Pius. This is wrong. How can you do this? My reaction to it is, you know, listen, he's a defensive lineman. He commits assault on the field every day. You know, I it's not surprising he would have a nasty streak. In fact, it's a virtue to be that way, yes?
You have. You have to have a little ugly in you to be able to compete and play at that level. And Sue apparently is, I haven't seen him play a lot, but the clips that I have seen, the boy can play. And he has that little nasty streak in him when he's on the field. Now, the comment, I can see the comment because it's almost sarcastic the way I would think it was. I was thinking he's going, because I've heard my trainer tell me, "Get up off the grass! You're killing my grass over here." You know. So I don't take offense to that much, and neither should Matt, because I don't think it was malicious. I think it was just in the heat of battle, when you're out there and you're competing in physical contact, you got to have a mental attitude to do that.
What about the tattletaling, though? That's how it sounds to me, is that the Falcons turn around in the post game and talk to the media about it. Ndamukong Suh was mean out on the field today. Doesn't that seem a little bit un-NFL-y to you?
Yeah, it does. They should, if they feel that way and they think they're legitimate in their estimation of what Sue was doing, then take the matter to Sue. Don't take it to public. We would take it back to the source. If we have an issue, Merlin took it to the huddle. You remember Merlin walked into the huddle of St. Louis one time and was sticking that big old finger in Conrad Dobler's chest. And I look at Freddie and Brooksy and I said, all right, boys, here we go. We got to go back up here.
Well, Jack, I'm glad you brought up St. Louis, because I grew up 15 minutes from the front gate of Anaheim Stadium out there in Corona, California. Now, I don't refer to the team that plays in St. Louis as the Rams. I refuse to do that. What about you? Do you still have a relationship with the team?
Well, I've kind of got myself – I talked about that last week when I was on the media tour in L.A. And to be honest with you, no, we don't have a real relationship. I mean – Yeah, they know me, Demoff and Devaney. They know who I am. But if you call that a relationship, we really don't. And they don't have an ongoing relationship with any of the pre-95ers. Hardly. I mean, the only one that went across the line was Jackie Ray Slater.
Mm-hmm.
And Jackie still has a decent relationship with him, I think. But as far as an alumni organization that is there to be used to enhance the organization, like other franchises have, they utilize their alumni, in marketing, in advertising, help with the players. I mean, I've got 201 consecutive games under my belt. I think I've got a little experience.
Yeah, it seems as though it's a willful decision to try and distance themselves from the L.A. past, even down to the uniforms. I mean, that metallic gold versus the great royal blue and that yellow that you wore in the Super Bowl. What is that, the best uniform in Rams history? Or did you like the blue and white?
I love the blue and white. I really did. That was that royal blue jersey just popped, I thought, and was it was simple, but it was and clean. And I liked that.
What do you think? Do you think then that talking about the franchise now in St. Louis, you always hear about looking for a new stadium with that team, with the Vikings, Jacksonville, your native town. Where do you think? Is there going to be a team in L.A., let's say, next year, as soon as next year? You hear about these deals crumbling in different towns. San Diego's another one. Do you expect to see possibly the Rams back in L.A. at some point soon?
Well, timing has a lot to do with that. The building of a new house has significant influence on that. I know the commissioner and the owners want another franchise in L.A. Television wants that. Now, how that's all going to work out, that's another thing. I mean, when you got, but I'm not real sure. And this is just my opinion, and I may be 180 degrees off. But I experienced being a rock star in Los Angeles because we had a good franchise and we won. And people were excited about that, and they followed us, and they turned us into rock stars. And you think about that, and you experience that. I'm not sure that the Los Angeles Vikings is going to work, nor would the Los Angeles Jaguars.
No,
I think that there would be a somewhat of a following, but to really embrace your a new franchise back or the old franchise, bring back the old Rams that were there from what 37 on, something like that. That's certainly a possibility. But then again, that's Mr. Kroenke, and he's got to make a decision on what to do with that franchise and the issues with the St. Louis stadium and the following that they have encountered there in St. Louis.
We need to right the wrong. We need to right the wrong. We need to bring the Rams back. Here's another situation. Here's the thing that offends me. And you talked about this briefly. You talked about Merlin Olsen going into the huddle and poking Conrad Dobler in the chest. And if you go to St. Louis, they honor Conrad Dobler in their little ring of St. Louis. And that offends me.
Is that right? Wow, that is outrageous.
Right. It is outrageous. So if a team, let's say, okay, now my first choice, bring the Rams back. But let's say another team moved out here, they rebranded it. Would you be open, like if there was a new team called they called themselves the LA Dons or something?
No, the Hollywood Knights. I told you. That's with a K. Jack Youngblood. That's an awesome name. Knights like the, Knights in Shining Armor. That would be Hollywood Knights. That's good.
Knights. That's a good name. I've never heard that. That's pretty good.
Thank you, Jack.
Oh, you got Jack's. He got his endorsement. That's pretty good. But if a new franchise, if a team was rebranded like that, would you be open to being a part of that? I think there should be a ring of LA honor with you in it. Would you be, want to be a part and embrace that franchise?
Well, that's something to think about. That's some league decisions and I think team decisions as to, can you transfer that and say this is the Ram organization coming home. Mm-hmm. Or the legacy coming home to establish a place for us, because we don't have a place in St. Louis, apparently.
Yeah.
I would consider it. I would consider it. I would like to be a part of it and help design it and make it work. And I understand the marketing. I was in the front office for 8-10 years, and I understand the marketing aspect of what they're doing and trying to do. But then it comes down to a personal issue, and with Merlin was invited back. Deacon was telling me the other day. He goes, they invited me back one time to do this jersey thing, and I'm standing next to Deardorff. And he goes, he was my mortal enemy. Why am I standing here next to him when I'm having a jersey done here?
That's criminal. That is an outrage. That shows just no sense at all for the lore of football, for your own franchise. That is clueless. Rank mentioned, though, the great history of the Rams and the part that you were a part of in the 70s. And it did seem like year after year, you guys playing in Southern California invariably had to travel up to the Met to play the Vikings in those frigid temps. Do you think it's a shame? I mean, I guess I know what your answer is going to be, being a tough guy. But don't you think the Vikings are missing a huge opportunity and wasting a potential home field advantage by playing in a dome up there?
Yeah, absolutely. No question in my mind. I've still got a scar on my right cheek, and not my face cheek. Skidding across the ice, that ice that had been built up for 3 months, and on the sideline there, and I landed right on that right cheek, and it ripped my pants
really?
Off of me. It ripped my pants off of me. And it just tore them. Yeah, there's an advantage there for the Vikings to play outside. There really was.
So you don't go. So you don't have to pay a visit up to the Met that season in 79, the year the 9-7 Rams go on their run to the Super Bowl. You do go into Dallas Stadium. You do go into Texas Stadium, and Billy Waddy and Vince Ferragamo hook up for the last minute touchdown there to knock them off. Then you play on the broken leg against Tampa Bay in those creamsicle jerseys. Then you go on to what is essentially a home field advantage, a home game in Pasadena to play the Steelers. and you almost knock them off. Talk about it.
6 minutes to go in the ball game. If we could have stopped it right there, it'd been good. It'd been real good. But we were ahead 19-17, mm-hmm. and Terry went back and found John Stallworth down that left side, and Stallworth went up and made one of those circus catches that we see, you know, 29 times in today's game. These big, tall, athletic receivers today, they throw the ball to the backside and they go catch it over the defender, and that's what John did. And both our defenders, unfortunately, came down and couldn't make a play, couldn't tackle them, and that put them ahead and put us in a bind. And then we threw an interception, and it was ball game over.
Rod Perry almost got a fingertip on that pass before it got to Stallworth, huh?
Yeah. Hey, we've seen that replay too many times. That's a nightmare.
Yeah, I've seen it plenty. Yes, and Dave was talking about the Met. And now the Metrodome. Now, if the Vikings had had a dome in the 70s, how many Super Bowl titles would we be looking at for the L.A. Rams? I'm saying at least two.
Yeah. We would have gone on from there. You bet.
74 and 75, if I'm not mistaken.
74, 75. Yep. Yep. And then remember they came to L.A.
Oh, and it rained.
And I thought the good Lord had told us that it, you know, he wasn't going to let it go more than 30 days. You know? And it seemed like it rained that entire month. And the Coliseum was nothing more than a pig pen. Because, it, you know, all year long, they're reseeding that, you know, that grass with nothing but cow manure and grass seed. So it rains, you know, 6 inches that week. So what's it turned to? It turned into a stockyard.
I remember when the Steelers rolled in there. I think it was 78, and it was also it was a torrential downpour. The field was nothing but mud, and I think you beat them 14-7. You beat the great Cowboys with Staubach. You beat Bradshaw and company, at least in that game. And then you talk about the Vikings. That is the golden age, as far as I'm concerned, of all time great teams. You had the Dolphins. The Raiders, so many of the all-time great teams all playing at the same time. Never mind your team, by the way. What is the best team you played in the 70s?
The best team I played or my best team?
No, yeah, team that you played. I can't believe I stumped them.
I think year in, year out, I would go with Dallas. I would go with Dallas.
How dare you? That's the end of this interview. I'm sorry.
I want this phone disconnected
right now. What?
I'm a huge Tom Landry fan. I just respect the man so much and all he did for the game. And he continued to put together great football teams and let them win.
But what was the best team that you played on, though? Let's take that, because we've had talks about this with amongst my friends and everything. I say the 75 team, but what do you say?
I'm thinking. Yeah, my 75 team is probably pretty good. You know, the one key issue that we struggled with early was, you know, we went through what, five or six different quarterbacks,
right?
Trying to find that one who could get us over the hump.
Mm-hmm.
The old man Carroll, he went to the extent of going and bringing Joe in, Joe Namath. You know, and poor Joe would, you know, he about used up that tank.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that was. And Pat Hayden, one of my close friends, and love him to death. He's a great, great guy. You know, he gave us his heart in some tough situations out there. And we had Jaws for a while. We had James Harris, and then we had John Hadel, and I mean, you can start a quarterback, you know, social club with all the quarterbacks that we went through.
And it seems to me, T, now you retired in August of 85. Was it finally, because you talk about all the quarterbacks that came in, you finally, they bring in Dieter Brock. Was it like, you know what, enough's enough. I can't put up with this.
I did scratch my head on that one. I mean, I was going, what? But anyway, I mean, Dieter was a fine kid. I mean, it wasn't his fault. Mm-hmm. I retired because the game started to change how the coaches wanted to deal with players. They wanted to start this shift type of thing. They wanted to bring me on and bring on pass rushers and get the first down players and I could have rushed a passer for another 3 or 4 years easily.
Oh yeah, make the mistake. You had 9.5 sacks in your final year.
Yeah, but that's not the way I was taught to play the game. I was taught to play, when you're the starter, you are supposed to be the best of the bunch of defensive ends that plays first down, second down, third down. Make them punt, come off the field. You play any and every situation. Now they want to rotate them in. They want to, a coach would use, we got fresher bodies in there. But that fresher body isn't as good as a conditioned body that's your first team, in my opinion.
Agree. Mean Joe Green never left the field, of course.
He never left the field.
I'm sure you remember.
Never left the field. Bob Lilly didn't leave the field.
Yep. So, what about this, though? Rank is going to get upset. He doesn't like that I want to ask you about this, but I'm fascinated by it. Don't you think it's crazy, Jack Youngblood, that you were playing on a Rams defense simultaneously with a man named Jim Youngblood, and you were not related? Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, it really was. It really was. We had a lot of fun with that, you can imagine. I had to make sure Jimmy and I didn't cross our girlfriends.
Or you made sure you did. No, that's
all. Yeah. and then we became, because he was my right hand man. I mean, he played right behind me all the time. We didn't flip flop our linebackers. And Jimmy and I became, brothers, literally brothers. And the crazy part about it was, we really looked alike. I mean, we did. I've had occasions when the PR office would send pictures someplace, and you'd go on an appearance, and there's Jimmy's picture.
And at the same time, up in Cleveland, there's number 34 and number 43, two running backs named Greg and Mike Pruitt, spelled the same way, unrelated. Why does no one else think this is some weird thing that we better get in touch with Ripley and let him know about? Because it's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is. Those were fun days, though, because to this day, I still get asked, how's your brother? And there are times when I just don't want to answer the question,
Understandable.
He's okay.
Well, that's good to know. Well, Jack, you're one of the prides of Jacksonville. And I would say also Leonard Skinner, also the pride of Jacksonville. Where do you stand on Leonard Skinner?
Allman Brothers versus Skinner.
Oh, that's tough. That's tough. Two good ones there. I gotta go with hometown. I'm going with Leonard.
Hey, speaking of Youngblood, you ever see the movie with Rob Lowe?
No, I really haven't. I never did that.
All right. Rank, what else do you have for Mr. Youngblood here while we got him?
Well, I just want to say,
you're swooning. Go
I'm
ahead.
I'm swooning. I really do feel that we need to get a team back in Los Angeles. I think that team needs to be the Los Angeles Rams. And I think, to me, it's criminal that they're not recognized for the greatness. And people, Jack, back me up on this. L.A. has great sports fans. I mean, you alluded to it earlier, but how great was it playing? Because you guys, and people might not understand it, but you guys were the biggest sports team in L.A.
We were during those years. We really were. I mean, the Lakers had their own, they had their own following. And basketball has its own. I mean, there's somewhat of a crossover, but no, we were We were the team to follow there, and those people let us know by their attendance. I mean, we had, I think the last game of the year we had one game we had Pittsburgh there. The last game of the year they weren't in anything, but we had 104,000.
Wow!
And the last game of the year, we're all walking on the field going, "Whoa! Where did all these people come from?" It's a great sports city. You know, the issue of where that stadium is going to be is certainly, you know, being bounced around now. So I think they got to settle that, get somebody to, you know, crank that up and build it in a hurry, so that you know, one of these franchises is going to, if there is going to be a new one there, then the commissioner's got to go through the expansion mode and get that done. And then there's going to be, you know, some franchises looking to move. So it will be interesting. It'll be something to talk about always.
Well, Jack, from your mouth to Goodell's ears, best wishes with the book, because it was Sunday. Thanks very much for the time. It was a real pleasure to speak with you. You're a delight, but the thrill really is for Adam Rank. Thanks for taking the time to yap with the both of us.
Thanks, Jack.
I appreciate it. Thank you, guys. Anytime.
All right. Take good care. Well, Rank, you're still coming down. Talk about it.
First,
you heard I gave Youngblood a talk about it too?
You did.
Super
I
Bowl didn't 14, notice,
talk about it. I did. I laughed. He actually took the Jim Youngblood, Jack Youngblood thing better than I thought he would.
He was a peach.
Listen, was great.
We've gotten really lucky, or maybe it's just we're so charming that we draw people in.
A little column A, a little column B.
Yeah, and bring out their charming side themselves and their humor. But either way, we've been on some run here. I've really enjoyed the people we've gotten to kibitz with, and Jack Youngblood right there.
You know what's amazing is I've been to the Hall of Fame a number of times. Never gone up and talked. I wanted to
Too
talk
nervous.
To him a little bit. Like, it just seems like if there was a natural reason for me to go up and bother him, but now I feel that we're chums. I have his phone number now.
Sure. You should start
calling it in my phone.
You should ask him if that was cool. Better yet, he's did. You know what? Just start calling him.
I'll just be like, "Hey, Jack, what's up? Adam Rank, NFL.com.
No. You don't give a title. You just say, "Hey, it's Rank." See if he just starts kibitzing
with
you.
It seemed like he was, and he.
What
he
a took, delight. What
and
a
he
delight.
He took Skinner over the Allman Brothers Band, which was nice, too.
All right. Well, there you go. All right. Listen, we've covered a lot. We've said it all. Let's stop down here and come back next week. What say you there, Rank?
I'm all for it.
All right. Great. Great work out of you. Can't wait to hear that Fred Jackson interview, though. That's what I'm intrigued by. I'm going to have to listen to that with the rest of America and see how well you did. All right. That's your silence says everything. All right. Listen, black tie, nice job in week one. At least two or three more weeks for you, I think. Probably. We'll see how it goes.
As Jason Garrett said about DeMarco Murray, he's earned at least some playing time.
You understand. All right, we'll talk about that next week. I don't want to start because that's another 15 minutes, and I've had enough of you. All right, so we'll stop down there. We'll be back with episode 32 next week. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.